Chapter 16. Lexi closed the bakery shortly after the meeting. Cassie had baked the meringue cookies to perfection, and they sat perfectly lined up on the baking sheet, cooling in the oven. She popped one of the pink confections into her mouth, letting it melt on her tongue. Did they need more sugar? She'd eaten so many of them over the past few days, it was impossible to tell. She placed 2 dozen of them carefully in a white bakery box and headed home. Well, not exactly home. She had made a little bit of a detour to the Sullivan's house, just 2 houses down from Jack's. Mary Sullivan answered the door. Intelligent green eyes, set wide in a heart-shaped face, smiled at Lexi. And Lexi realized Mary was still a beauty, even in her late 70s. No wonder Earl had put the moves on her.
What a surprise. It's nice to see you, Lexi.
Despite her words, Mary didn't seem all that surprised. Lexi held up the box of cookies. I brought you some cookies from my bakery. It's my new recipe for the Brook Ridge Dessert Contest.
Oh, how nice.
Mary took the box from her and gestured for her to come in.
Patty, look who's here.
Patty Sullivan appeared in the kitchen doorway, his bald head showing patches of gray on the side. His face was etched with wrinkles, but his eyes were still bright and intelligent. He smiled at Lexi.
Hi, Lexi. That's nice of you to stop over.
He stepped aside, then pulled out a kitchen chair for Lexi, and she sat at the pine plank kitchen table, her lips turning up at the corners in appreciation of the gentlemanly gesture.
I was just telling Mona we don't see enough of you,
Mary said as she bustled around the country-style kitchen, getting a plate and arranging the cookies on it. Oh, did you see her recently? Mary and Patty exchanged a look.
Well, not recently.
Mary slid the plate onto the table.
I think we saw her at the senior book sale last month. Right, Patty?
Yes, I think that's the last time we saw her,
Patty said, his focus on transferring the cookies to the smaller plate Mary had put in front of him.
This was a lovely gesture to bring us your cookies. Do you need feedback on your recipe?
Mary asked. I'd love some, Lexi replied. But actually, I have a question.
Oh.
Mary shot up out of her chair and headed to the stove, then half turned to look at Lexi.
Tea?
Yes, thanks.
So, tell us about this dessert contest.
Patty took a bite of cookie. It's the yearly contest, but that's not why I came. Patty stopped chewing and looked directly at Lexi, his brows ticking up a fraction of an inch. You probably know about the discovery in Jack's basement, Lexi continued. Mary blanched as she set a dainty porcelain cup with a tea bag on a string in front of Lexi.
Yes, terrible to think that was right under our noses.
Sure is.
Patty reached absently for another cookie, his eyes never leaving Lexi's face. You know it was Earl's shoot, right? Lexi asked.
We heard.
I know he lived in the neighborhood for a short time. How well did you know him?
Hardly at all.
Patty's reply was abrupt.
He lived down on the other street.
We didn't associate with him,
Mary added. No? Sam, down at the pub, said you had a run-in with him more than once. Lexi pretended to watch the steam curl out of her cup, as the Sullivans exchanged a startled look. Mary put her dainty porcelain white hand over Patty's larger, work-scarred one.
I guess we should tell her.
Lexi perked up. Now she was getting somewhere. Patty nodded.
That's true. We did have a run-in. You see, Earl took a liking to my Mary, and I just couldn't have him pressing his amorous intentions on her. So I had to show him whatnot.
My hero.
Mary smiled up at Patty, and he returned the look. Lexi could practically feel true love radiating from them, and her heart pinched.
She sure hoped she wouldn't have to send the lovebirds to jail for murder.
Just what exactly do you mean by whatnot? Lexi asked.
I told him in no uncertain terms to leave her alone.
Paddy's face took on a sheepish look.
And maybe I got a little physical too.
How physical? Lexi asked.
Well, I didn't kill him, if that's what you're asking.
Paddy avoided Lexi's eyes by digging for another cookie.
He deserved what he got, though.
Mary nodded solemnly in agreement, and Lexi decided not to press them. She figured it wouldn't get her anywhere to accuse Paddy, especially not without solid evidence.
Is it true the McDonalds were on vacation that summer?
You mean the summer Arl died?
Paddy asked. Lexi nodded.
They were,
Mary said.
I remember, because Lois sent us a lovely postcard. I dug it out after I heard about Earl on the news to check the year. I have it right here.
She twisted around and grabbed a postcard from atop a pine dry sink behind her, then read the card to Lexi.
Having a great time, wish you were here.
Mary pointed to the upper right corner.
And there's the postmark, right there. August 13th, 1955.
Mary handed the postcard over to Lexi. It was a linen-style card, typical of the 1950s. The image was of a gondola in a crowded canal. Venice. The back was yellowed with a few stains. The message in blue pen had faded over the years, but the postmark was clear as a bell. Lexi handed the card back to Mary, making a mental note to tell Davies about it. That card was proof the McDonalds couldn't have killed Earl.
And you didn't notice anything strange going on at their house while they were gone? Lexi asked.
We can't really see the house from here, Paddy replied. It's two houses down and offset from us. But we saw the contractor in the driveway. They were having the basement refinished that summer.
Yeah, I heard, Lexi said.
You know, Earl was found stuffed into a small room in the basement. The room had been sealed up as part of the remodel, and no one even knew it was there.
How do you think he ended up in there?
Mary and Paddy looked at each other.
We talked about that, and we figure it must have been the stranger.
So they'd seen the mysterious stranger too, Lexi thought. Something was fishy about this stranger, but she hoped it turned out that the stranger was the killer, or Bobby Nussbaum, because if not, then Paddy Sullivan and Floyd Nichols were the next most likely candidates.
Some of the other neighbors reported this stranger, too, Lexi said. I'm not sure I understand. Was he just skulking around the neighborhood, or was he doing something? Was he here every day? Did you see him? Paddy and Mary glanced at each other out of the corner of their eyes. Mary got busy digging for a cookie in the bakery box.
He was just seen lurking around, mostly at night. I can't say as he ever did anything.
Paddy pressed his lips together and looked at the ceiling as if trying to dig up his memories of the stranger.
I saw him a couple of times, and once I heard him in the backyard arguing with Earl.
Lexi perked up. You saw him argue with Earl?
Yes, that's right. At least, I think it was them. It was dark out, and I couldn't really make out who it was or what they were saying, but it was loud. They were out in the back, between the backyards, and I thought it was odd, since it seemed to be coming from the McDonald's, but I knew they were out of town.
Really? When was that? Could it have been the night Earl was murdered?
Oh, I can't remember exactly. I knew it was hot, though, as we had the windows open, and that's how I heard them.
Did you happen to see this stranger?
Paddy and Mary glanced at each other.
I did catch a glimpse, Paddy said.
What did he look like?
The two exchanged another glance.
Well, Paddy stammered.
He was a ruffian, Mary cut in. You know the type, all scraggly with facial hair and an unkempt appearance.
How tall was he? What colour hair did he have?
He was about average, I'd say, with brown hair. It's hard to describe, really, wasn't he, dear?
Mary looked at Paddy.
Yes, he was. Very nondescript, Paddy said.
Lexi felt a niggle of doubt. This was not how the others had described the stranger. Was it possible there was more than one stranger? Or maybe their memories were faulty, since all the witnesses were old, and over 50 years had passed since they'd seen him. Ed Johnston mentioned something about Earl selling insurance. Lexi decided to move on to her next question. Paddy's face turned red. Lexi noticed he avoided looking at Mary.
Insurance? I don't remember that.
Lexi wasn't surprised. She figured no one wanted to admit to being scammed by Earl. So, tell me what you thought of the cookies. Lexi pointed to the bakery box.
Oh, they were very nice, dear.
Mary looked down at her plate, which had a half-finished cookie on it.
No, really, Lexi said. You won't hurt my feelings. I've heard the recipe needs more sugar, and it's important for me to know, as I want to win. I'm going up against Violet Switzer.
Mary's hand flew to her mouth.
Oh, dear, she's a tough competitor.
Oh, that's right, Lexi stood to leave. You probably know her. I heard she used to live in the neighborhood.
Well, a few streets over,
Paddy corrected her. Did she know Earl? Lexi asked. Paddy and Mary looked at each other again. Mary shrugged.
I can't rightly say. But if you're going up against her, good luck. She takes her contests very seriously. Maybe a little more sugar in the cookies won't hurt.
They walked Lexi to the living room. As she turned to thank them, a fuchsia sparkle from the table beside the recliner caught her eye. Lexi frowned at the table where a familiar pair of fuchsia-studded glasses was folded up beside the lamp.
Are those my grandmother's reading glasses?
Mary and Paddy both swiveled their heads to follow her gaze.
No, these are mine.
Mary picked them up and shoved them on her face.
They're a very common design for reading glasses. Lots of us ladies have them.
That's right, and you look lovely in them, Paddy said.
Well, thanks for coming by, and you have a nice day.
Mary bumped her shin on the coffee table as she practically pushed Lexi toward the door.
Thanks, you too, Lexi said.
Good luck with the dessert contest,
Paddy called out, and then promptly shut the door before Lexi had even stepped off the first step.
I'm beginning to think we should move, Lexi said to Jack over pizza in the kitchen of their home after her visit with the Sullivans.
Why is that?
She glanced out the window.
I think we might be living in a neighborhood of murderers.
Jack chuckled.
Surely that can't be true. There hasn't been a murder here in over 50 years.
Lexi laughed. True, and I don't really think any of the neighbors are killers. But I am sure a few of them have been lying to me.
I remember you were suspicious that Floyd Nichols knew the year Earl died when he claimed he hadn't heard about it on the news.
Jack folded a slice of green pepper, onion, and hamburger pizza and paused, holding it in front of his mouth.
Did something happen at the Sullivans?
Sort of. Lexi picked a pepperoni off her slice and popped it into her mouth, then wiped her greasy fingers on a napkin.
They're a really sweet couple, and you can tell they are devoted to each other. Paddy said he had to defend Mary against Earl. But I think they lied to me, too.
About Earl being interested in Mary?
No, I'm sure that part is true. But I got the feeling something was off. They'd said they hadn't talked to Nan's in weeks, but I saw her reading glasses there, and I know Nan's had those the other day.
I think you might be reading too much into this. The Sullivans are old. They probably just lost track of time.
Jack reached over and wiped some cheese from the corner of her mouth.
When you're retired, it's harder to remember if it's been a couple of days or a couple of weeks.
True. But I know Mary lied about the glasses because she said they were hers. But she just read a postcard to me less than an hour before without any glasses on at all. Why would they lie if they had nothing to hide? Jack shrugged.
You tell me.
There's another strange thing, too. Lexi broke a tiny piece of crust off her pizza and fed it to Sprinkles, who had been sitting next to Lexi and quietly begging for some with pleading brown eyes. The descriptions of this stranger everyone seems to have seen are all different.
Again, that could be due to age and memory. A lot of time has passed. But I have to admit, this case sure is getting strange, especially with the feds coming in.
Lexi's brows dipped together. Yeah, what about that? Why do you think the feds are interested?
I don't know. I guess Davy's insurance scam theory makes sense. The two guys they sent, Binder and Fluke, have taken over one of the interrogation rooms down at the station, but they are pretty tight-lipped about what they're doing in there. Davies is all riled up about it.
I bet she is. Do you think we can trust her?
Well, sure. She's not that bad. She just likes to do things her way, and it's better than letting the feds have total control.
Jack grimaced.
From what I've seen, they don't seem too competent. And I get the feeling they're more interested in getting the case over with quickly than figuring out what really happened.
Lexi's gut churned, making her wish she hadn't eaten that third piece of pizza. You don't think they just pin it on someone without evaluating the evidence properly, do you?
I hope not. But that's why it's important we keep looking into it too. And that we keep Davies informed so she can do things through proper police channels.
Okay, I'll call Davies tomorrow and let her in on my conversation with the Sullivans. Lexi rose from the table, grabbed their plates, and put them in the sink. She paused, a fluttery sensation nagging at her stomach, as she looked out the window at the yellow crime scene tape stretched across Jack's bulkhead. You know, I can't help but feel like something isn't right, like someone is leaving something out or trying to misdirect us.
I know what you mean. With all the strange forgetfulness going on, I have a bad feeling myself. Which is why we need to get to the bottom of this before the feds do. Just in case.
Lexi turned from the window, a puzzled look on her face. Just in case of what?
In case the evidence starts to hit too close to home.
Jack's eyes were dark with concern.
Because from where I'm sitting, a lot of the loose ends seem to point directly toward Nan's.